You know what we've said about OJ for so many years? That even if they had the video, his supporters would still say he's not guilty. Well, now we have a chance to test that. Because here we have a video of the crime. And here's R. Kelly saying, even though I don't believe any of these charges are warranted, I'm grateful that I will have a chance to establish the truth about me in a court of law. And then he said, I have complete faith in our system of justice. This is from Reuters out of Chicago, written by Andrew Stern, Reuters reporter. This is too much, this child molester. He has confidence in our system of justice. You know, when a woman gets raped, she doesn't have confidence in our system of justice. She's very, very concerned about the whole process. Like, this could easily be a disaster. The murderers and rapists, child molesters, they're more confident. They like our system of justice. He says, I have complete faith in our system of justice. So we're going to go to South Bend, Indiana in a couple minutes. But you know what that statement reminds me of? I have complete faith in our system of justice. It reminds me of what we've been doing all day here at KGov. We've been talking to a video crew that was hired by E. Is that the name of the network? E? Just E? The E Network? Entertainment? Entertainment Tonight? E.T.? No. The audience is saying no. Just E. The E Network. Cable network that it's all about entertainment. And come September, they're supposed to air an entertainment, an E biography about O.J. Simpson. And so since a few years ago, we went to an auction in Hollywood at Butterfield and Butterfield, and we bought some of O.J. Simpson's memorabilia. And the next day, we burned it on the steps of the L.A. courthouse while we were calling for three reforms of our criminal justice system. So that was we really got the word out in a big way. We launched kgov.com through doing that. And after the break, I'm going to go quickly to a call. And then after the break, I want to tell you about some of the questions and what our answers were. And we'll see in September what actually airs. All right, now, President Bush gave a speech today, and we've got a couple people calling in about it. First, we're going to go to Hastings, Michigan, and then South Bend, Indiana. First, Dwight, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? I'm actually in a truck. I drive across country, but I'm from Hastings. We did a Clinton T-shirt deal up there in the courthouse in Hastings when you did that a couple years ago, too.
Oh, when we were protesting Bill Clinton for having raped Juanita Broderick, one of his campaign workers.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Hey, thank you for doing that.
Well, we only got to do it 1 week. I just kind of fizzled out on it, but...
Well, that's right. You know, we had protests against Clinton for raping Juanita Broderick, according to her testimony and the contemporaneous testimony of a nurse, Norma Rogers. We had protests in about 150 cities. We tracked him around the country from Martha's Vineyard all the way to Auckland, New Zealand. We followed him and protested him. And for the most part, the media doesn't care if the president, if he's a liberal, even if he raped a woman, because that's executive privilege for liberals, you can abuse women with impunity. But go ahead, Dwight. What's up?
Well, you know, I listen to a lot of talk shows, and they're talking about Bush knew this, Bush knew that. He's backing down on this item. You know, he is turning a lot, but he ain't turning that much. But what I was going to say is I bet you he's going to reverse on the death penalty. He's
Wow. Hold on, and we'll be back after... All right, now this is a live commercial break. We don't go for any of that recorded stuff. This is live here. And beginning in July, we're going to ask callers to help us do our commercials. So you could call in July to be on a commercial. But I want to tell you about some of our videos, and you can order them by calling 1-888-NYARDS. All right, here are some of them. I'll try to do it real quick. I don't have a lot of time. Get out of the Matrix, where I got to debate a philosophy class and their professor. Now, you know what? I'm supposed to name 8 of our videos in this commercial, and I only have another 1 minute. But I just got to tell you more about this video. It's our smash hit, Get Out of the Matrix. Bob debates a philosophy class and their professor. This professor, this was in Lansing, Michigan. And the professor, well, we start out with, she's taught her students that the only thing you can know is that which your 5 senses tell you. That's what philosophy students learn in our colleges and universities. And so they believe that. The students believed it, and the teacher didn't teach it as a theory. She taught it as fact. And so I asked the students, I said, do you really believe that? Which one of your 5 senses told you that? That you can only know what your 5 senses tell you? Is it your sense of taste? Maybe it's a sense of smell, because it really stinks to me. I asked the teacher if it was absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman. She said no. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live. And actually, I have to clarify that last thing I said in the commercial break, the philosophy professor. I said in that Get Out of the Matrix video, I asked, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And the professor, I asked her directly, and she said she couldn't answer it. What do you mean by absolute? And I said to her, you fool. You fool. It's a wild video. All right, back to Michigan. So, Dwight.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you're worried that Bush is going to flip-flop on the death penalty. You know, he's flip-flopped on almost every important issue to us conservatives.
That's right. And Rush was asking what else he could give, and I think that's about the only one left.
Well,
you know?
You know what he did? You know, a lot of us conservatives were pro-life because conservatives believe in protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. So we believe in protecting the baby and killing the rapist. Well, George W. Bush, he has appointed so many pro-abortion judges, it makes your head spin. He's destroyed the Texas Supreme Court for a generation because he's packed it with pro-aborts. And that since he's appointed them, they've given us the worst pro-abortion decision in the history of Texas. And it was his judges.
And so, there was one other thing, Bob, I wanted to say.
Yeah.
There was a caller that called in to Art Bell. I hate to say I listen to Art Bell, but sometimes...
Yeah, that is a bit embarrassing, Dwight.
Hey, but anyway, this caller was from the Rocky Mountain News. He was a creationist.
Yeah.
And he had some really, really good points. He sounded like he might have been listening to you.
Hey, that's neat to hear.
I don't know who, I can't remember his name, but...
I'm glad something intelligent was said on Art Dingling's show.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say hi. You're doing a good job.
Thanks, Dwight. Appreciate the call from Michigan. Now we go to Indiana, South Bend. Joshua, speak your mind.
Bob, I was wondering if you had a chance to catch Bush on TV tonight.
I did not. We were doing our own interview with E! Television Network.
Oh.
Ours will air in September. We don't have quite the demand that Bush has.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Ours takes a few months to actually get to the airwaves, and it's about O.J. Simpson. But go ahead. Tell us. I've seen the report on the web, and he said that we're in for a titanic struggle against terror.
Yeah.
And that may be, but I would hope we would so utterly decimate the terrorists and the governments and the organizations that support them that it'd be pretty much a one-way struggle. But go ahead. Tell us, what did you hear?
And, well, then he was saying that, you know, all us citizens have to be real alert, you know, and if we see something suspicious, you know, we're supposed to turn it in. But yet he denies the airline pilots the right to possess a firearm in the cockpit if they are so trained and so desire.
Yeah, right. This titanic struggle against terror.
While I'm disarming you, I want you to pick up the phone and call the new American SS.
Right,
and
pilots.
Send them over to investigate somebody because you don't like them.
Yeah, pilots should call 911
if
somebody pulls a box cutter on.
Well, they'll send up a phantom fighter and shoot the damn thing down before they let it crash into a city.
Yeah, well, that,
so
you know.
They said, well, we can't trust the pilot to have a gun, but we'll shoot the damn, we'll shoot an airline down, kill all 300 people on board. We don't care to protect this housing development.
Joshua, and that's actually, you know, we've advocated pilots carrying guns since, on the air, since September 11th. September 11th, you know, Bob and Your Live is carried in the cities we're in over the Information Radio Network, IRN. And during the terrorist attack, as it was still concluding, I got to be on the air with a special report for an hour with Larry Bates, the president of the network.
Great. Yeah.
And we were calling from day one. And the next day, we got it on the web, in print, and in audio. In fact, it's still there at kgov.com. But one of the things we were calling for is for pilots to be armed, because that simple step in September 11th could not have happened. The terrorists might have done something different, but they couldn't have crashed those planes into those buildings. In fact, if our pilots were armed, they wouldn't have tried even to do what they did the way they did.
Right.
And, you know, I had a liberal, well, we just had a video crew from Entertainment TV here at our KGov studio today. But last week, our friends had an NBC crew. You know, and these are freelance crews that are hired in Denver by the networks. Mm-hmm. And so the NBC crew, they come out, and it's a story about abortion and killing children in the womb.
Right.
And so the interviewer, the woman, she was maybe 30, 35, she wanted to know, what's those ShadowGov T-shirts that people were wearing? Some of the kids had ShadowGov T-shirts. It's part of KGov.
Right.
And so we told her, and we said, for example, up there right now, it says if the pilots had guns, that September 11th would have been deterred. It couldn't have happened. And her immediate response, being a liberal in the media, now not all media people are liberals, her immediate response was, how do you know it wouldn't have happened? It could have happened.
It may have been attempted, but it wouldn't have come to fruition.
And we were thinking, you know that kids game, rock, scissors, paper?
Yeah.
Rock, scissors, paper. Mm-hmm. Rock crushes scissors, scissor cuts paper, paper covers rock. Well, we've got here the gun and the box cutter game. Hijacker has box cutter, pilot shoots hijacker. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple, straightforward.
Can I throw out another issue that really is disturbing me here?
Yeah, go ahead. Then we got to run.
You know, here again, he wants citizen participation and all this, but yet the federal government has taken over the screeners, and if you're an old grandmother or a small child, you're likely to be selected for some kind of special attention, but if you're a Middle Easterner, they won't even make eye contact with you, and you walk right through because, God forbid, we'd be racially profiling.
Absolutely
somebody.
True. And we've heard this
they
from...
want us to trust, but yet Bush wants us to have a committee, like a literally have the same power as Hitler's SS.
Joshua.
To invade every aspect of our being and our citizenship, why yet they deny the airline pilots the right to carry a pistol?
And Joshua, we've had airline passengers,
you know,
from around the country. We even
something troubling here.
Hey, Joshua, we've had passengers from around the country call in, people telling us, because we talked about this on the show. We got emails, calls, people saying, yeah, on the flight I got on, they searched an 80-year-old grandmother from Idaho, and they let a 28-year-old Middle Eastern guy walk right on without even looking at him.
Yeah.
And of course that's happening, because our government does not have wisdom, and it doesn't have the strong, the courage necessary to protect us. So thank you, Joshua.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. It is frustrating. You know, in times of war, where the war on terrorism, I'm afraid it's going to go the way of the war on drugs, and it's just part of the federal budget. And there's no actual determination to win it. It's just something that you make campaign speeches on. You know, if that weren't the case already, why does George W. Bush, he gave us the best thing we've had in foreign policy in a long time. Since Reagan, he gave us the Bush Doctrine, which is if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Okay, so then we have Yasser Arafat. Yasser, that's my terrorist. We have Yasser Arafat harboring terrorists in his very headquarters. Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, all these terrorist groups. And he's funding them. We know that he's funding them. He's not only harboring them. The guy who Isn't it the guy who pulled the trigger to kill the minister, the tourism minister in Israel? He was in Yasser Arafat's headquarters during the siege for all that time. And so Bush had to clarify the Bush Doctrine. And when he clarified it, and he told us he was clarifying it, he actually was reneging on it. And he said, well, the Bush Doctrine, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. He said that doesn't really qualify Yasser Arafat as a terrorist because in the past he had tried to negotiate for peace. Now, what kind of a clarification is that? But you know what? It doesn't matter if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. How about Yasser Arafat is paying for the bombs, the suicide bombers? He's buying the explosives. We got the documentation when they went into his headquarters in Ramallah. We've got it. Overwhelming evidence. So forget if you harbor a terrorist. If you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. How about that? We need the Bush Doctrine too. Bush Doctrine too. If you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Now, how is Bush going to clarify that one? Well, okay, Yasser Arafat might be a terrorist, but in the past, he was negotiating for peace. Oh, yeah, of course, that was after 20 years of being a terrorist. So if you were a terrorist, then you negotiated for peace, then you are a terrorist, you're not a terrorist, by the new Bush Doctrine. Huh? Why didn't Bush say, we have zero tolerance against terrorism, and Yasser Arafat, you pay to target children, women, and babies to be killed for political gain? You're the enemy. We're not negotiating with you. We're not going to encourage Israel to negotiate with you. You are the enemy. And just like we targeted Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, we're going to target you and the Palestinian Authority. You're a terrorist. Why doesn't George Bush say that? You know, his approval rate would go through the top of the White House, out the roof, and soar over the Washington Monument, and it would go to the moon, his approval rating. To the moon. Yeah, there would be people who like to make excuses for terrorists who wouldn't be happy, but who cares? So what? You're not going to please them anyway. They defend terrorists. Like that Christian gal who called in here a month ago. Christian gal, and I described to her the terrorist who killed that little baby. What was that, a four-year-old kid in his bed? Five-year-old kid in Israel. Terrorist broke in and shot and killed the baby right in her bed. And there it is on TV, the blood all over the place. That's not an accident. That's not collateral damage. That's not a bomb going off course in the midst of a just war. That's a murderer killing a baby. And here's this Christian. What was she, a Mennonite or something? Where did she live? She lived where there was some Christian college that sort of, Goshen? I think it was, Indiana. And so she begins to defend that terrorist for some political reason. And I just came unglued. Nobody who knows right from wrong could defend terrorism. There are no excuses. There's no justification. There's no understanding. There's no tolerance. You know what it reminds me of? Who's that Denver former talk show host who used to play for the Broncos? Reggie Rivers. Reggie Rivers, he wrote a column in the Denver Post, and it started out this way. He said, while I don't condone the Romans for killing the Christians in the Colosseum, I could certainly understand why they did it. Now, how's that? Talk about hatred. Talk about evil. That's Reggie Rivers, former Bronco, K-How talk show host. Well, now he quit because he couldn't take the Americans who were calling in and defending the war against terror. You know what Reggie Rivers didn't like? Well, he was against what we were doing in Afghanistan, as best I could tell. I didn't listen to him all that often. But he was against it. But, you know, the best I can figure out, he wanted the Afghan people to stay enslaved to the tyranny that they were under. We right-wing Christian conservatives, we wanted to liberate them. And we did. Now, hopefully they'll escape any further American influence because now we could utterly destroy them. We could destroy them worse than the Taliban did. The Taliban oppressed them. Our kind of evil will get them to destroy themselves from the inside. Each family crumble by their own hands. That's what the American influence will do. But then these liberals, they're against us taking Saddam out of Iraq. Why don't liberals love Iraqi people? Why don't they want them to have freedom, to have liberty? We do. We're back for in the commercial break with another live spot. And this live spot is only on the web. And I have here our product catalog. Now, is this some fancy catalog or what? Is this one, I'm asking the studio audience, this is what you call glossy, four-color separation, eight-page. Actually, it's one sheet of paper mimeographed. Remember the mimeograph machines they had when you were in grammar school and they all smelled funny, every copy you got? It's like that's what we have here. We got one sheet of paper, and we list a number of videos, audio albums, and some literature. The literature is, the main thing is my manuscript, The Plot. It's an unpublished manuscript, 320 pages long. It's my life's work. What do they call that if we were in an English lit class? Your magnum opus, whatever. That's my life's work. It's a labor of love trying to describe the Bible, an overview of the whole Bible. And on the cover of the Plot manuscript, now the cover's nice. You know, the inside pages, they're just out of a Minolta printer, high speed, double-sided, duplexing, hole-punching printer. But anyway, the cover looks real nice. You know, the guy who runs Theology Online, he's the one who designed the cover for us, Erica Tormson. And we have a positioning statement on the cover. It says The Plot. And then beneath that, it says, grasping the big picture of the Bible is the key to its details. Grasping the big picture of the Bible is the key to its details. If you want to understand the Bible on some debate, what debate? What do Christians disagree about? Well, pretty much you name it, and we disagree about it. I mean, not the basics that you have to believe in Jesus Christ. All Christians agree with that you need to believe in Jesus Christ and that man has sinned and fallen away from God. We agree with that. But there are so many things we disagree with amongst ourselves, like do Christians go into the tribulation or not? For the unbelievers listening, they're thinking, well, what's the tribulation? Don't worry about it. Do you have eternal security or not? Is there healings or not? Well, call us, read this manuscript, get an overview, and then approach the details. Here's our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Now, the video crew that was here today interviewing me and interacting with our entire staff here, they were really helpful. And, you know, this OJ thing has been around for us for so long. We got involved with it. We bought OJ Simpson's memorabilia at an auction in Hollywood, and then we burned the stuff the next day on the steps of the LA courthouse. And they had given us the questions yesterday, and so I went through it just for each question, jot it down an answer. And the video crew, the interviewer, was trying to help me not come across like a machine, because when you've said things 10,000 times, you'd be a machine. People say, well, what punishments does God approve of in the Bible? What punishment? We say God authorizes three punishments, death penalty, corporal punishment, and restitution, just like a machine. And she was saying, well, just tell me in your own words. But here are some of the questions. They said, what did you think of OJ before the murders happened? And really, these questions coming from Hollywood, Now, the interviewer didn't write the questions. Some Hollywood liberal producer did. If you work for E, if you're a producer for E, you cannot be a moral person. That is not possible. You cannot be moral and be a producer for E. That's not possible. Now, so he's a liberal, and the fourth question down was, since we were against OJ, in a liberal's mind, if somebody's publicly against a black man, he's probably a racist. That's how liberals think. That's, you know what a racist is, right? Well, a racist is a few things. But one of the main things a racist is anyone winning an argument with a liberal is a racist. If you're winning an argument with a liberal, you're a racist. So the fourth question was, did OJ's race play any factor in your actions? And that's an insulting question. And I said that in the interview. I said, that's an insulting question. But the first question maybe was trying to get to that point. What did you think of OJ before the murders happened? And we pointed out that, well, I said, well, he was a great football player. And as far as I knew, he was a nice guy. But don't neighbors often say that some murderer was, he was the nicest guy. Don't they say that all the time? All right, now we're going to go to, let's see, we got to go to New York and to Michigan. So let's start in Michigan. And I don't know if I could pronounce this name. What is your name?
In Michigan?
Yeah.
My name is Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia.
Yes.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hello.
I couldn't read what's on my screen here. You look like an unpronounceable something or other.
It's a long last name. We won't even go there.
All right. So, Cynthia, what's up? Tell me what's up.
Well, I am just calling to tell you that I find your lack of political correctness so refreshing. I am loving it.
Cynthia, I'll give you 20 minutes to cut that out. Hey, I appreciate that because, Cynthia, we get beat up nonstop here at Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, I know you do. I've listened.
Beat up. You know, later in the show, we're going to call that church down in Indiana, a United Pentecostal church that we now have the address and the phone number. And they had a billboard outside their church a while back. And we mentioned the billboard on the show last night. And boy, were we getting beat up afterward. And this is what the church billboard said. Are you a Christian, Cynthia?
I am.
All right. I am too. Cool. Here's what their billboard said. It said, it's better to be nice than right.
Oh, no.
It's better to be nice than right. And I'm thinking, and that billboard's right by a highway. And I'm thinking of all the people driving by who reject Jesus Christ, and they say, well, there's a big church, and I'm nice, so I'm better off being nice. It doesn't even matter if I'm wrong.
You can be a murderer and be nice.
Yeah, they normally are.
Yeah, I've got a brother-in-law who was very nice until he molested my niece.
Wow, what a good point. Hey, Cynthia, maybe you've heard us say on the show 800 times, if there's a child molester living on your block, he's the nicest guy on the street.
Well, of course he is. It's because he wants to be nice to those kids to get at them.
Exactly. And the same thing is true with the drug dealer and the pimp and the socialist and the college professor who's an atheist, who the young girls entering his class, he wants to turn them into liberals.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're conservative Christians, they're not going to give him what he wants.
Uh-uh.
Hey, Cynthia, thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Nice, nice, encouraging call. All right, let's go to New York State. Dan, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, a couple things.
Yes, sir.
First of all, about that bulletin board, whatever happened to that phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions. That would have been a lot better. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah,
it's hard to believe Christians are saying that. I guess we have a problem in the church. Another thing about that rapper with the child pornography.
Yes, that's R. Kelly.
Yeah, you know what bothers me about this? The Supreme Court recently had they lifted that ban on virtual child pornography.
You're talking, for the people in the audience who don't understand, our Republican Supreme Court just made it much more difficult to prosecute for child pornography.
Yep.
much more difficult. They gave a ruling that caused the child pornographers to celebrate popping champagne corks because the Republican U.S. Supreme Court has protected child pornographers now the way they protect child killers and sexually immoral perverts of all stripes. Go ahead, Dan.
And by just doing that, you're just throwing more fuel in the fire for people to get involved with that.
Of course.
You know, the Catholic Church, granted, they got the problems, it's wrong, and yet, you know, no one's saying nothing about the Supreme Court.
At the Supreme Court, let's make it clear to the audience, because I don't think, not everybody knows what the Supreme Court did a few weeks ago. Could you describe it, Dan?
Well, my understanding was that because it wasn't real, that it was, my understanding.
Yeah, you know.
That it wasn't real, it was something that was art.
You know how we have animated, fully animated feature-length movies today?
Mm-hmm.
And like Toy Story. And what was one of the new ones with the aliens and all?
I'm not sure. No, there's one.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And there are scenes in some of these movies, short clips of them, where it's almost like it's real. And it's animated. And we're obviously moving in the direction where eventually you're going to have animated video that looks like it's got real humans in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously coming. In fact, you're going to be able to produce your own movie someday if we live long enough. Pick your own best man and best woman. You know, pick John Wayne and Ava Gardner. Pick those two and put them in any movie you want. And it's going to be their voices, their pictures in the movie you picked. And it'll all be animated. And so what the U.S. Supreme Court said is child pornographers, they have the right to make child pornography if they use animation. And so what the FBI was saying was that, hey, this is going to be really difficult already because there is digitized porn on the web that's just multiplying like crazy. And pretty soon, they might have real children in the video and digitally change their faces. And it'll entice people because the ads will be legal child pornography. Get your legal child pornography here on the steps of the Republican U.S. Supreme Court.
The sad part of it is, Bob, you know, we are so morally decayed. Our government, I just can't believe the Supreme Court judges. The highest court in the land.
Yeah.
Could ban that. 4 out of 5 say homosexuality is okay. And the government in general is just rotten to the core.
Why do you think, I appreciate your call and your point, why do you think I always call it the Republican Supreme Court? Why do I say that? Why don't I just say the U.S. Supreme Court?
I have no idea. Well, give me a lesson.
Well, 7 out of 9 of the justices were appointed by Republican presidents. 7 out of 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-child pornography, pro-pornography, practically pro-everything filthy, and anti-everything godly you can think of.
Yeah.
And so how many more Republican victories are we going to have until the court is completely 9 out of 9 pro-abort, pro-homo, pro-pornography, pro-divorce without consequences or grounds? I mean, our government is completely immoral, and when Christians run for office, by the time they get to the presidency, they forgot what it was all about.
Yeah.
And they're about as immoral as the rest of them.
Yeah, I don't think we're too far off from Sodom and Gomorrah.
You're right. Hey, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome, Bob.
I appreciate that. That was from New York State. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. Hey, we haven't heard from Denver in a while. Right? 1-800-836-9278. Live commercial. They told me my job is to mention all the video titles we have in this one commercial break. And then you could call and order one at 1-888-NYART. So here we go. We've got Get Out of the Matrix. Bob Debates Predestination. The Bible Tour of Israel. That was fun. God and the Death Penalty. Mount Moriah. That's about the resurrection. Morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. Divorce and remarriage. What does the Bible really say about divorce and remarriage? Mount St. Helens. What a great video about that volcano that blew up. We didn't make it, but a PhD a geologist did, Dr. Stephen Austin. It's just a great video. It tells you a lot about how old the earth is and things like that. The trouble with lawyers. Bob on drugs. That's when a heroin addict called in. Video fruitcake. That's a compendium of some of our funnier callers. These are videos, though, on TV. Bob debates an ACLU lawyer. That was on the local Denver PBS TV station, and it was actually the executive director of the Colorado ACLU, Jim Joy, who was really funny. Well, not really funny, but the video's really, really cool. Then we have Amy's call, Megan's call, Terry's call. Now, Terry's a homosexual, lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and hated Christians until he called in to Bob and Yurt Live. And now he is a Christian. In fact, right now he's in heaven with the Lord. Environmentalists lose a 10-year bet. That's another video. Confronting an atheist. Infanticide exposed in the New York Times. Yeah, they advocated infanticide, killing a baby after he's born in the first month. Planets, the stars, and the Bible. Bob debates an evolutionist. Defending the faith. Bob debates. Oh, we're out of time. All right, we're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-NYURT, 1-800-836-9278. I'm going to take one call, then I'm going to try to call this church. And of course, you know, we didn't tell the church we're going to call, so they're probably not there. But let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Indiana, Rhonda, speak your mind. Hello, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Help Hello? Me, Rhonda.
Well, actually, no, it's not Rhonda. It's Stacy.
Stacy, I'm sorry. Hi, Stacy.
That's okay. And I'm actually calling from Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. We're having computer problems here.
Okay. That's all right. I'll take that.
All right.
Well, my comment was actually about the board that the church had put out. I had heard your comment, how it was placed on the highway, and it basically said it's better to be nice than to be right, correct?
Yes.
And I was just thinking, as a Christian woman myself, I was thinking that maybe their perspective, and this was my first edit, that their perspective might have been to the people driving on the highway, the unsaved world, that who's always searching to be right rather than to be nice, meaning flip someone off, cut somebody off, get angry, pull out a pipe and fight somebody over maybe perhaps being cut off on the highway. And I'm thinking that maybe that was their take on it.
Okay, well, you know what? I think you're probably right. I think that's what they were thinking, but let's consider that thought for a moment. I have my co-host computer, my co-host for the show, he's Al the Fourth. He's a computer.
Okay.
And I just said, Al, show me all the verses in the Bible that have the word nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just right now, I'm going to hit enter.
Okay.
That's how fast he does it. He's instantly done. And this, let me give you his answer. It says, I'm going to read it verbatim. It says, nice is not in the Bible.
Oh.
Nice is not in the Bible. It's not in there. Did you hear the caller earlier who we were talking about? If there's a child molester who lives on your street, that child molester will be the nicest guy on the block.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Right. And a pimp, when he's trying to seduce a 16-year-old girl to become a prostitute, he is the nicest guy she's ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a murderer, the media runs to his neighbors, and the neighbors say, he was the nicest guy. So nice is completely irrelevant in the big picture. On Judgment Day, there are going to be a lot of nice people. Jesus said most people reject God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that. And so there's going to be a lot of nice people who've decided to go live where God is not.
And they're choosing that every day.
Right, and so an unbeliever's driving by, and he says, ha, I know a Christian who told me I got to believe in Jesus. But here's the biggest church in town, and they say that it's better to be nice than right. So it doesn't even matter if I'm right or wrong, as long as I'm nice. And I just think that they should have thought harder and put something better up there. That's my
thing. I agree
thinking.
With you, and I see both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
And I think a call from you might make them realize their point and maybe give them a chance to express their opinion on it.
Well, thank
but
you.
I agree with you, and it was insightful to hear where nice appears in the Bible.
Yes. Stacy, thank you so much for your call.
Well, thanks. Good luck with your calls with the church.
I'm going to call them right
now.
God bless you.
Well, I'll be listening. Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now we're going to – here we go. Here now. Let's see. This is the United Pentecostal Assembly. Oh, this is the parsonage. I didn't even realize. I'm calling the parsonage? Boy, what a crack staff we have here.
That's United Pentecostal Church. United Pentecostal Church.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart, KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado. And I hope you don't mind us calling you, but we're live on the air right now. And we wanted to ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Would that be okay? Is
yeah,
this
we're
the
having church right now.
Oh, you're having church right now?
Yes, we are.
Well, I hope we're not interrupting the whole service, but we got people listening in cities all around the country, and we had a quick question for your church. Could you take the question or someone else? Sir? We're talking to a modem here. We're talking to a modem. Maybe I could communicate with it. Hello? They're having their service. It's Thursday night. We called a church last week. Last night we called another United Pentecostal church, and this in Bloomington, Indiana. They were having their service. You know, if they all had their services on the same night, then maybe some unbelievers could get through once in a while and actually have a conversation. I don't understand. What's the – should I call them back? I don't want to be rude to them. I don't know. Let's go to South – let's think about that. We're going to try to get through to this church. Was that guy a clone of the guy at the other United Pentecostal church or what? That's hysterical. Okay, South Bend, Indiana. Now we've got Rhonda. Speak your mind.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing great, ma'am.
Are you familiar at all with the doctrine of the United Pentecostal Church?
Perhaps not especially.
The discord was an act of repentance or contrition.
Say that again?
Are you familiar at all with the doctrine that the United Pentecostal Church project?
Not intimately. I've certainly heard about their church over the years, and I know what Pentecostalism is.
Well, they're a particular sect of Pentecostalism that proclaims that they have a greater degree of rightness than other religions.
Oh, and you know what's funny about that, Rhonda? Pretty much every denomination thinks they're more right than every other one.
Well, actually, theirs is to the exclusion of all others.
Oh, really? Go ahead.
If you're not baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then you don't go to heaven.
Then you're going to hell.
That's right.
Then it's almost like you're a United Methodist.
I'm not familiar with their doctrine, but I'm a former member of the United Pentecostal Church.
You are. Well, Rhonda, I want to thank you very much for letting us know that. You know, Jesus in the Bible said he'd like us to be one. He prayed
exactly.
That we would have unity.
Yes.
But the prophets, the apostles, they all had a hard time getting along and figuring out what was what because we're human beings. And we could love Jesus Christ and get saved, but we still have the flesh hanging around. And so we don't have everything straight. But to say that our group is the only group of all the groups, that's sort of sad.
Well, it's often said it's not done nicely sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been in one of the services, but perhaps the billboard was one of saying to the world, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see.
The manner in which we have preached this gospel.
Oh, hey, I get it, Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda, I think you're helping me see it. In other words, they might have a reputation of being so harsh.
They absolutely do.
That they're trying to say, hey, we could be nice too.
Exactly.
I see. Hey, thank you. That was very, I appreciate
welcome.
That, Rhonda. God bless you. All right. So see the things we learn here at Bob and Yart Live? I still want to get through to that church. Now, do I call them now in the last three? I'll call them because we only got 3 or 4 minutes. So why don't I call them tomorrow night? I'll call them tomorrow night. And what I want to do is tell you more of the questions that we were asked for the E! Entertainment Network biography they're doing of O.J. Simpson. It should air in September, and they were here today talking about it. But, you know, I'd rather go to the phones, actually. So let's go to Walkerton, Indiana. Talia, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I talked to you last night.
All right. You're back already. Hi,
yes,
Talia.
I'm doing good. I just heard Rhonda, and I had to call. I couldn't help it.
Because wait, let me remember. You are a member of a United Pentecostal Assembly.
Yes, I go to the Walkerton United Pentecostal Church.
Okay, and what Rhonda said was she used to go to a United Pentecostal Church.
Yes, and you know, the funny thing is the man from Knoxville that called last night also used to go to the United Pentecostal Church.
There's a lot of used to goes around here.
Yes, I had to just say, you know, the doctrine that she said is true and correct, and you know, we teach that is self, that's the way to heaven, that's the ticket, you know, that gets you started on the path.
Right.
But it's not our church, it's what the Bible says.
Well, that's a good point, Talia. Quite often the Bible, if you quote the Bible, it'll make you unpopular.
Right.
And we agree with that absolutely.
Right, wonderful.
But that's true. And you know, but quite often we're wrong on things because we don't have perfect insight. But let me ask you a question. How about the criminal on the cross? I don't know when the United Pentecostal Church started, but was he a member?
I'm sorry?
Remember the criminal on the cross next to Jesus?
Yes.
He died, and Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering, I don't know when the United Pentecostal Assembly was formed,
right,
but was that guy on the cross, was he a member?
Well, you know, it wasn't born until, you know, later in the 1900s, but
so how did he
well,
go to...
Well, you know, I'm not saying that only... No, this that's why I wanted to call.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that only Pentecostals or United Pentecostals will go to heaven. That's absolutely not true.
Good.
And it doesn't matter what kind of church you go to, and it doesn't matter what the sign outside your church says. What matters is what is in the Bible.
What matters
what
is
the Bible says.
What matters is what God says. Like Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
And then therefore, to whom little is given, less is required.
Right.
But, right, God is the judge of all the earth.
Right.
But it's neat that he delegates judgment to the hands of the saints. Do you remember that in Corinthians, Paul? He said to the Christians, he said, "Do you not know that we saints... we will judge the angels." Do you remember that? He said that?
Right. Is that during the thousand-year reign?
That's afterward, at the judgment day, yeah.
Right.
And he said, we, Christians, we will judge the world, he said. So we're going to get to judge the world on judgment day. Because
after judgment day.
On judgment day. Mm-hmm. On judgment day, God delegates judgment into the hands of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be fun. We're going to get to judge the wicked. I'm looking forward to it. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "I'm ashamed of you believers because you're not judging anyone. Start judging. Get practicing on the little things because pretty soon you're going to have to judge on the big things."
Doesn't the Bible say judge not?
Actually, Jesus said to Leah in John 7:24, Jesus said, "Judge with righteous judgment." Do you remember he said that in John 7:24?
Okay.
Look up that verse when Jesus commanded us.
Now, when a sinner comes into our church, you know, telling them that they'll go to hell it doesn't do any good. It doesn't save them.
Well, Jesus said, Jesus told people they're going to hell.
Right, but
And Jesus told us to judge with righteous judgment. When Jesus said, "Judge not," we're about out of time. When Jesus said, "Judge not," in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, he said, "You hypocrite," in Matthew 7, verse 5. He said, "Don't judge, you hypocrite. If you are a pornographer, don't judge others for making pornography. First," he said, "repent, take the log out of your own eye, then you could see clearly enough to judge your neighbor, because then you could judge with righteous judgment." It's Hillary Clinton who's the one who told us that God says don't judge. Hillary told us that. Jesus told us to judge with righteous judgment. And if there are any Christians out there mad at me now for saying this, don't judge me. So, hey, we're out of time. Got to go. See you tomorrow night when we'll call that church again. Boy, we'll get through to them. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Ooh, right, right.